I have three very simple points for you this morning. There is a negative aspect to the gospel. There is a positive aspect to the gospel. And finally, there is an aim. There is a looking forward. There is a goal as far as the gospel is concerned. Well, let's start with what this passage teaches us about the negative aspect to the gospel. And here is the negative aspect. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. What is Paul talking about when he speaks of dogs? He's speaking of the Judaizers, the preachers who said that you had to become Jewish to be a Christian, that you had to be circumcised if you're a male to be a Christian. You had to have the mark of the covenant with God in your flesh. And Paul uses strong words against these people. I like the way Kenneth Taylor translates in the Living Bible. Watch out for those wicked men, dangerous dogs, I call them. We're not talking here about the dog that's the gentle family pet. We're talking about dogs as scavengers, barking, a nuisance. I recall hearing a missionary from Ethiopia, Marisa Zondervan, years ago, saying that one of her fears where she was living was that there were packs of dogs roaming the streets, and they were dangerous. Now, that's what Paul is thinking of here. These Judaizers, they come and they bark and they attack, and they are trying to destroy the church and the gospel. There's a negative aspect to the gospel. And so these people, these dogs, they are the traditionalists of the church. They're the people who say, well, you've got to do it this way to be a Christian. You've got to come through church, through the mark of the covenant, and so on. And dear friend, 30 years ago and more, this church started on the basis that we were standing against something. We were standing against traditionalism. We were standing against the fact that the denominations, many of whom had lost sight of the gospel, and people going to church that had no idea what the gospel was, and thinking that going to church would save them, thinking that being a church member would save, would help, would earn points before God. And so this church began with a fellowship that said, we are not traditionalists. We beware of dogs. Some of us may have been, I for one was the son of a minister, and an Annibynwyr, a Welsh independent, brought up, and many of you were Presbyterian or Baptist or the church in Wales or something of that kind. But we found that we had to stand against empty, vain, outward tradition, the mark of the flesh without the inward spirit. You see, whereas the circumcision was a sign of the covenant, Paul is saying, we are the circumcision. We are the true circumcision because of our hearts. You can have a sign of marriage by having a ring on your finger. But if there is no love there, there is emptiness. It's simply a sign, an outward sign. The church here stands against traditionalism. Here's the Apostle Paul saying, watch out for these people. These people who say you have to do this, you have to do that. Who said that you had to be Jewish before you could be a Christian. So when this church began, we were making a statement. We were saying we're not religious people. Religion doesn't save. And the religion of works doesn't save. That what God wants is simply for you to do your best. One woman once said to her pastor, she said, it's like a rowboat, isn't it? With two oars, one on the one side you have faith, on the other you have works. So it's faith and works. And the pastor said, there's one thing wrong with your analogy. You don't go to heaven in a rowboat. And we are saying that works does not save you. Traditionalism doesn't save us. We were making a statement. We are still, I trust, making a statement. And then what does the church stand for? What is the position of the church and the gospel? Well, it's a rediscovery of the gospel. The Apostle Paul is saying, well, I had so much to be proud of and to boast of. Circumcised on the eighth day, I was steeped in traditions. I heard one preacher say, I was pickled in traditionalism. Of the tribe of Benjamin, the small tribe that was faithful to Judah, from which the first king of Israel came, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to zeal persecuting the church. I was born into it, I was brought up in it, I dedicated my life to it. This was my life. And as to righteousness under the law, blameless. And you may be saying this morning, well, I'm a pretty decent fellow. I do my best. I try hard. I'm blameless. I'm as righteous as can be. And Paul is saying, that's what I was trying to do. That's what I was trying to achieve. I was working to save myself. And this church stands for the discovery, men and women, that we cannot save ourselves, that we have to be converted and born again, and we have to have faith in Christ. And as we heard earlier, we are that prodigal that's come home and knowing the Father's love. There is a turnaround. There is a conversion. We long to see souls saved, people changed. What did we all need? Jesus Christ and His righteousness. When I was in hospital some years ago, a nurse noticed that I had lots of cards with verses on them. And she said to me, are you a lay preacher? Notice she didn't say, are you a Christian? Are you a lay preacher? And I said, well, I do preach. Oh, she said, I wish I could be good like you. And I said, now hold on, hold on. You're probably a much better person than I am, but it's not about being good. It's about being forgiven. It's about knowing God and finding grace and love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And we talked a little bit more, and she was about to go out of the room, and I said, now remember, it's not about being good, it's about being forgiven. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And the Apostle Paul was found on the Damascus Road. Despite all his religion, he was lost. Despite all his efforts, he had nothing. Despite all his righteousness, it was worthless. But he was found and saved and loved by God when he met the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road. And our desire here 30 years ago and still now is that this building might be the lost and found department in Newtown. Might be the lighthouse at Vaynor. Might be the lifeboat and the ark that takes people to heaven. A place where Jesus is preached, only Jesus, faith alone, Jesus alone, the Word of God alone, the cross. Oh, may we preach the cross. May the cross be lifted up in this place, that men and women might look to Jesus, a dying Saviour who rose again and know resurrection themselves. This is what the Apostle says. I desire, he says, to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, that which comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. The only righteousness God accepts is the righteousness that comes from him, the righteousness that he gives. Many a person standing trial believes he's innocent, but what matters is what the judge says and believes. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. So there's a negative message on our anniversary. There's a positive message, what the church stands for. And thirdly, there is a goal, what the church aims to do, the direction of the church, what the church aims for. And the apostle comes to this as well. He's not just looking back on his history. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That I may know him. Do you know him? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Have you met the Lord Jesus? Has he come real to you in your experience? Do you know him now through prayer, through fellowship? Do you know him through your devotions and through reading the scriptures? Is he real to you and to me? The Apostle Paul is saying that there was all this baggage I had, and it was rubbish. And I found Christ, and I found his righteousness. So what am I doing now? Do I sit back? No, I want to know my Saviour. I want to walk with him. I want to talk with him. I want a long life's narrow way. I want to know my Saviour. Have you come to church this morning saying in your heart of hearts, I hope I recognize my Saviour today. I hope I learn something new about him and about myself. I hope I'm able to express that relationship that I have with him this morning. As we sing our hymns, as we worship, let me go back a few lines to the beginning of the passage that we read. He says, for we are the circumcision. Now, who's we who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh? So we don't just turn up to a service. We want to worship God in the Spirit. We want to glory Jesus Christ. We don't come and go away and say, well, I've done my religious duty for the day, for the week. We want to glorify God. We put no confidence in the flesh. Can we say this morning, I count everything rubbish that I may know him? I'm turning away from my own righteousness. I once thought that that was good enough, that I was better than other people, you might say. But it's not good enough that I might have his righteousness over me and around me, that I may know him and have the life of Jesus. And as the apostle looks forward, he says, what am I aiming for? To know him and the power of his resurrection. He says, I'm hoping to know this power in my life, and one day that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. The Lord Jesus is alive, and I shall be alive too with him in the future. And so then, as we think of this church anniversary, there is a past, there is a present, and there is a future. There is a righteousness that we've turned away from, and we say, that's worthless, that's negative, that won't take us anywhere. No point at all in religiosity. But there is something that is worth having, and there is someone worth knowing. Believing on him, we are given his righteousness, a true, holy, amazing righteousness, which is from God. When Jesus becomes your Savior and your friend, the lover of your soul, the King of your life, the prophet, priest, and king, the shepherd and guide. Oh, that I may become like him in his death, says Paul, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. 30 years on, if you were around then, are you a new person? Are you still reaching forward? Are you still wanting to know Jesus more and more and wanting to attain to the resurrection of the dead? May God help us.